The Cypress String Quartet has a relatively new release out, Beethoven's Middle String Quartets. For the uninitiated or the uninformed, the ill-informed perhaps, can you define for me or explain to me how is the tone and the structure of the middle string quartets different from what Beethoven wrote earlier and what he wrote later?
So Beethoven, you know, people put his life into sort of three categories, early, middle, and late, and they do have distinct qualities about them, different qualities about each. In the early period, they're much closer to Haydn and Mozart. They're lighter, they're shorter, they're still beautiful, they're still Beethoven. But when he gets to this middle period where we've been focusing for this recording, they are earthy and robust and grand and on a much larger scale. And it's Beethoven how a lot of people, how they think of Beethoven. I mean,
yeah, it's quintessential Beethoven. There was something in 1802, Beethoven really, really went through a huge personal crisis where he struggled with his deafness and whether to continue as a composer. And when he came out of that crisis, he was, I think, transformed as a human being, but also as a composer. He identified with heroic characters, and he wrote his Fidelio opera and his Eroica symphony and then these quartets. I mean, he was reading Ulysses, I understand, and the Odyssey. And so he suddenly was writing music that really was over-the-top heroic and incredible and poignant and beautiful.
Has the Cypress String Quartet recorded works from other eras, earlier or later?
Well, our first Beethoven release was of all of the late quartets. So when we first sat down to work together at our very first rehearsal in 1996 here in San Francisco, one of the first pieces of music we put on our stands and began playing together and then performing together was Opus 132, Beethoven, which is one of his last quartets. And in that time, people were saying, well, why are you starting at the end and not the beginning? We said, well, we've been waiting our whole lives to get to this great music. And so for this first 10 years, I think, of the quartet, or maybe 12 years the quartet was performing together, we were mostly focusing on the late quartet. And that period of Beethoven's life, the music is magical. It sort of transcends our earthly experience, if you will. It's very spiritual, very beautiful, very thoughtful music.
Yeah, and it's been a really great exercise because playing those late quartets first, it's almost like getting to know someone at the end of their life where they're completely at ease with themselves and not trying to prove anything anymore. You know, the heroicism of the middle quartets sort of fell away, and Beethoven was really comfortable in his own skin and trying to write the music both for posterity and for humanity that would last and that would reach our inner worlds and change them in ways that are remarkable. And I think he accomplished that. It's just the late quartets are unbelievable masterpieces. So seeing Beethoven's middle quartets now, looking at that earlier music through the lens of having looked at the end of his life first, you see how he's moving in that direction and how he's, you know, struggling with his humanity and sort of and succeeding in that struggle. It's really quite an experience.
So, I mean, if you imagine if there's somebody you really admire and you've met them later in their life, if you had the option of going back to time travel back to when they were becoming that person, I think so many of us would love to have that experience, right? And in Beethoven's music, we can do that, and that's what we've chosen to do. We're learning them not exactly in reverse order, but sort of in reverse time periods.
So is Beethoven's process of writing these very heroic, large statements in his middle career sort of a parallel with many people's lives, that in our middle years we kind of flail around and we try to make some grand statements, and then when we get older, we just want to get things down for posterity when we're comfortable with who we are?
Exactly.
Yeah, and you calm down a little bit later on, and you're like, okay, here's really what I think. You know,
yeah.
I'm not, why am I worried about what other people are thinking? And actually, you can see that in the middle quartets, Beethoven's is no longer thinking he doesn't care what people are thinking about his music anymore. And the thing that I love about these five quartets on this in his middle period is they're so different from each other. And even in the first set, which were all written at the same time, the first three quartets on this album, out of the 12 movements that they become, no two are anything alike. I mean, we have things where he's doing something very gorgeous and slow and thoughtful and intimate, and then you have these, you know, massive orchestral, muscular, you know, sounds, and then there's like a dance movement that's really light and sprightly. I mean, I love how he manages to take these four instruments and create so much. It's like a universe out of these four.
You four that make up the Cypress String Quartet are going on 20 years playing together.
Yep.
How does the relationship change over time, or is that even an answerable question?
It's a great question. How do the relationships between us change over time?
Are you mind reading by this point?
No.
No, because just as Beethoven was changing all throughout his life, all of the four of us are changing too, and we're changing.
Target.
Yeah, we're changing as artists. We're changing as people. Life, you know, does that.
Yeah. But I would say that the only thing I can think of that's anything comparable is a marriage. And but there, you know, there are four of us, so it's not. It has certain. You know, there's a lot in common with the marriage, but of course it's not a marriage. It's a working relationship. So it's different, but it's very intimate. And, you know, there are things that we argue about in music that I don't have to argue with my wife about. So those things can be harder. But aligning our goals and our desires and what it is we want to bring to the music and get from it is an ongoing challenge and an ongoing process.
Do you all practice together as a quartet on a daily basis, weekly basis? How's that work?
5 to 6 days every week, 3 to 4 hours a day.
Yeah, we just got back from a tour, and we were in the same place. It was actually quite wonderful for 8 days, playing all through the region, but we were staying in the same house for 8 days. And we were staying in a beautiful, beautiful house designed by an architect, but all four of us were living in the same house for eight days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so every day we'd just get up and go to the living room and rehearse, and then we'd go off and play our concerts. So we usually rehearse like 3 or 4 hours each day.
The Cypress String Quartet spearheads the call and response program, and this is for Bay Area students, where you all are based, Bay Area students, to introduce them to classical music and new compositions. Mm-hmm. How did the 2014 performances go?
Well, we were looking at expansion and contraction, that we always choose like an overall concept to think about. So how much can be expressed in a short amount of time, in like the music by Anton Webern, very, very short, versus Franz Schubert, where it was very, very long, or something sort of more in the middle. How do we look at this now? It was fascinating.
Yeah, and it was powerful and profound. One of the things I loved about it is the new piece by George Santakis was very lyrical and beautiful, and people really related to it. But he's a composer in the, you know, tail end of his career. He's more than halfway through. And so he's very at ease with himself as a composer. He's also at a stage where he's not proving something, and his music is so comfortable in its own skin. It's just wonderful. And so that was very, very special.
We also went and stayed with him, all four of us again, in his house.
In Woodstock, New York.
In Woodstock, New York, or near Woodstock, New York, and got to see, like, a real working process. It's very rare that you get to like live with a composer as they're doing, you know, go through their everyday activities and work with them on the pieces. It's
remarkable.
Yeah, that's a really fun. That's a privilege.
Yeah,
there's some saying about you don't really know a man until you smell his breath, or you're close enough to smell his breath.
I suppose so.
Now you even know how he takes his coffee.
There we go. Yep, I followed him on his routine of his going to the gym and going to his favorite, the breakfast spot he goes to every year for the last 30 years. So, yeah, it was fun.